This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that you actually have a creative brain and that that creative brain is constantly remaking your thoughts, seeing them differently, building off of them, expanding them into new way of thinking and creating opportunities? Do you know that its primary motivation for doing so is to free your thinking from what is familiar, those familiar repetitive thoughts that really overshadow and slow down our creative process? Very interesting topic. Hello and welcome to the show and for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is on your creative brain and how it works. And contrary to what we have been led to believe, that some people are just inherently more creative than others, that's really not true, because everyone has the same part of the brain that can stimulate the creative thoughts and generate new ideas. It's just that certain personalities in my world that I work in and people become so bogged down by the everyday demands and the distractions that they aren't consciously aware of when their creativity and that creative part of the brain is actually into action. So that's what the topic of the show is about. I loved researching it, and the more I researched it, actually the more excited I got, because I started to realize in this process how easily this creative function of the brain works and how its activities really aren't shackled by those limiting thoughts, and really isn't shackled by the emotional responses we have to the patterns of behavior that are familiar. The reality of it is the creative brain is always creating, even if we're not aware of doing so. Again, interesting topic, and certainly a topic that's very much in a timely fashion to the energy of 2014 and the energy of healing on a higher level, because one of the aspects of this healing on a higher level is to be able to use the creative brain and the imagination associated with it to be able to change and create a new reality for 2014. So I found it very, very interesting. In addition to the topic, I'm also taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or you want to talk about creativity, today's topic, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. callers, Canadian callers, and then international callers as well. Just be sure, please, international callers, that you dial that international calling code. I know that you're used to it, but it's just a friendly reminder, the international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. I'd also like to invite you to my online webinar that I have coming up on Thursday, January 30th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic is healing on a higher level. And when I started working with this topic and really getting this kind of insight as to what it was all about and what the year of 2014 is all about, I really thought that healing on a higher level really meant looking at the physical body and approaching it from vibrational medicine, energy medicine, subtle energy medicine, looking at the vibration and nutrition. And I really thought that that's where we would start. And then what we would do is that we would then go in and look at the psychological aspects of what can be keeping us both in those thinking patterns and in those physical patterns that relate to the discomfort or the pain or the chronic illnesses we may have. And I really thought that that's the direction it was going to go. But the more I delve into it and kept that line open with the celestial helpers and said, okay, so is it this? And they said, yes. And I said, is it that? And they said, yes. But it never went any further, and it felt like it wasn't finished. And what I finally found out is I asked them, what does healing on a higher level mean? And they said, it means understanding, and tapping into that living field of transformational consciousness, that flow of consciousness, that stream of consciousness that has different layers to it, and recognizing both in your thoughts and in your behavior and in the activities of your physical body, using all of those different components to recognize when you are either out of sync or out of the flow or caught in a recycling process, and then being able to go in and really change the energy, change the thought, again, creative brain, change the thought and morphing it into what you desire rather than where you are, and you get right back in the flow. So on this webinar, Healing on a Higher Level, I'm going to be talking about how to tap into that natural flow of consciousness and use it specifically for healing. Now, healing, to me as a medical intuitive, is not just physical. It's emotional. It's psychological. It's also healing our thoughts. It's healing ourselves energetically and, again, restoring balance. That natural divine order of consciousness of the flow is all about balance. It's about movement. It's about change. It's about creativity. I'm going to also discuss understanding the natural order of things and how to live within that natural order and how that can create good physical and emotional health. Also, I'm going to be sharing the 7 universal principles of healing that are an integral part of this order of consciousness and this flow. And then also I'm going to be sharing the 8th principle that was a principle that was known to the mystics and how they would work with healing the body, mind, and connecting it with the soul. And so I'm going to be sharing what that principle is. And then also how you can use that principle, the 8th principle, the Genesis principle, to be able to really transform illness into good health. And then I'm going to be talking about the other part, the other thing is how all of these principles connect with something that the mystics used and the metaphysicians used called the perennial philosophy. So you can see just, I mean, and hear what I'm saying is that this is going to be a very different type of webinar and one that I think that you will find of great value. I presented part of the process and at an event that I did last night, and it was absolutely heartwarming and phenomenal for me to really share how simple healing really is on all levels, and to literally watch the aura of people change within the audience when they realized in themselves when they were in this flow and when they were struggling, meaning that they were out of balance or out of it, and where they got stuck in this level of consciousness and how what they could do to get themselves out of it. So really a very different webinar. So I hope that you're going to join me again. That's January 30th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can actually register online. Go to my homepage and my website, www.ritberger.com. And then what you do is just click on that slide that says Healing on a Higher Level Webinar. That'll take you right to registration. Registration actually ends January 29th, and the event is January 30th. And the reason it ends the day before is there's going to actually be a printable workbook that you're going to be able to follow along in the webinar to be able to capture your thoughts and the information that's shared. So again, www.ritberger.com. I hope you'll join me. So the creative brain, I want to go back and really start by telling you a story. In 1994, while riding in the back of a 1988 Chevy Blazer with his wife, a computer engineer named Jeff Bezos laid the groundwork for a retail revolution that was going to take place. As they drove along, he sketched out a business plan that would capture the capability of the internet so it could bring mail order buying into the daily lives of ordinary people, meaning people who really weren't savvy in understanding the internet, excuse me, but making it very, very easy for them to be able to access it. So he decided, because he was an avid reader, that he would start this entire process by using the internet, using the capability of internet in the mail order kind of model, and he would start by selling books. Well, the company's Amazon, and that's what he created. And even today, one of the qualities about Amazon that sets it apart from its competitors is the fact of its creativity and innovation. What Amazon is always doing. And Google is the same model of what they took from Amazon and built off of that, is that it's all about creativity. It's all about innovation. It's all about looking at something that is so familiar, that is so obvious in the way it's used, and look for different ways to be able to use it, different ways to make it better, and then to put a plan in place of how you're going to implement those creative ideas and to be able to create a model that not only has problem solving in the present, but problem solving in the future. So that creative brain really has a lot of capacity. But the real interesting thing about the creative brain is that it really doesn't take something out of nowhere and create it. What the creative brain really does is it takes something that's obvious, that's familiar, that it's comfortable with, meaning the mind is, and it expands on it. Creativity is broadly defined as the purposeful generation and the implementation of a novel idea that results in measurable, useful outcomes. The seeds of creativity are found in the mental process of problem solving. We're all problem solvers. We just happen to neurologically maybe solve problems differently. And that's why one person's creativity can actually look different and feel different to somebody else's creativity. The seeds of creativity are found in that mental processing, but it's also found in memory. And memory is what we refer to as consciousness. So in your memory archives, in the part of the brain, in the limbic part of the brain that holds that memory, that creative part of the brain is always accessing the memory part of the brain to be able to take what it sees and how it interacts with what's familiar, creating new ideas, literally bouncing in a chemical way those ideas off of your memory before it even brings that idea to your conscious awareness. So there's a lot of activity of creativity that takes place that we're not even consciously aware of until all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, we have that aha moment or those light bulbs going off. The other part of creativity that is so important, and is important not only in the generation of ideas, but also very important in the implementation of the ideas, is to keep an open mind. And what this means is that to keep the mind, that everyday thinking, away from the rules, the restrictions that we get conditioned to believe. So open mind means there are no rules and there are no constraints. Anything is possible. And if you really come in and you approach creativity from the fact that anything is possible, and recognize that your creative brain is always remaking the thoughts that you have, and even the thought that you just created, always remaking that, then what we realize is the creative mind is always generating ideas. Anatomically, the activity of the creative brain is found in the prefrontal cortex, the region on the surface of the brain right behind your forehead and just above your eyebrows. Now, the ancient metaphysicians used this awareness to be able to help people in the healing, because they knew that this part of the brain, and they actually called it this, it was the part of the brain that they referred to as the third eye. And they believed that this function of this third eye and this function of this prefrontal cortex is to look beyond the obvious. And when this part of obviousness is seen beyond, meaning even a day in the future, a minute in the future, or in the future, then the ideas that this creative brain can generate is limitless. This part of the brain is the part of the brain that regulates your decisions, your thoughts, and your actions. But it really doesn't cause you to act, because the creative part of the brain, that prefrontal cortex, which is right above your eyebrows and the forehead, is connected by millions of synapses to the posterior part of the brain and the lobes there, that are really the part of the brain that takes what you think and puts it into action. So the creative brain really has a duality about it. It has the generator of the ideas, the evaluator of the ideas, but it also is tied to the implementer of the ideas. Now, what happens when we get into everyday thinking and we get into that mental constraint and those rules, the posterior part of the brain is the part of the brain that is most active. It goes to the memory. The memory says, been there, done that, don't do it again. The posterior brain, that active part of the brain that now is running the creative part in decisions, is hanging on to what's familiar, and it doesn't allow it to hear or the brain to hear the creative options that that creative part of the brain is using. So what we know is that we know it's called hypoflexibility in that prefrontal cortex. That's that daydreaming state that we get into. And when a person comes up with a new idea, we know that that prefrontal cortex and the vibrational waves that it actually creates, that I can actually see in the aura, is at an alpha state, and these waves are actually oscillating at a frequency of 8 to 12 megahertz. And what that means is that the brain isn't constrained by those thoughts. Now, taking that to the next level, when the brain is actually focused on a problem, for instance, solving a math problem or deciding what to pack for a trip, then the part of the creative part of the brain goes into beta waves, which oscillate at 15 to 20 hertz, which actually overrides the activities of the creative brain. So in those brain waves that we now scientifically know, when you are in a place of relaxation and daydreaming, then the creative brain is doing the creating, and then we'll go to memory, and then we'll go to the posterior lobes and say, this is a good idea, I think we should act on it. When you're focused on everyday things or mundane tasks, the posterior part of the brain is going to memory. If memory says, been there, done that, didn't work, then the creative brain is still up there creating. It's always creating. It's just that the message of what it creates does not get into the rest of the brain. And as a result, we don't know the ideas that we're generating. So what I'm going to do in the second segment is I'm actually going to be talking about some of the things that we can do to actually stimulate and balance that prefrontal cortex and that posterior part of the brain using memory and thought to be able to change the way that we look at things. And then as a result, it'll make the energy of 2014 much easier, to where we can create a new reality, not only dream about it, not only generate new ideas, but we can actually harness the power of the brain to be able to plan steps that need to be taken and implement. So here's some of the interesting things that we know about this creative brain. It's continually innovating by generating ideas. And it's continually breaking the rules. In fact, it doesn't even understand the word rules. It's continually paying attention to the visual property of things such as size, shape, material makeup, and color. That part, the visual part of the activity of the five physical senses, is really the most charging part, or the most active part in the creative process. We also know that the creative brain is continually monitoring our emotional responses when we're engaging with activities that are familiar. And if the activities are familiar and they have a negative charge, then the creative brain doesn't stop creating. It tries to become more creative in how it creates by creating ways to change or improve even our emotional responses. This is why understanding emotions and recognizing your emotional responses is so important. We also know that the creative brain is continually remaking thoughts by expanding its perception of them, and it's continually envisioning the future and creating different options to alter that future. And everyone will come up with every idea that's generated will not only, this is another thing that I found interesting in the research, not only will the idea that that creative brain generate solve the problem that's immediately in front of you, it will even offer solutions for you to be able to ensure and envision yourself in the future not experiencing the same problems. So very interesting information. What I want to do is I'm going to continue to talk about this, but my lines are full and I would love to jump in. And let's go ahead and we'll start with Darren from Canada. Hi, Darren.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. And how are you?
I'm getting by. I've been going through a period of like a bit of a storm due to a relationship I was in for like probably close to 6 years where we weren't romantically involved. Mm-hmm. Like I was madly in love with her, but she didn't feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a criminal, and I still fell in love with her. Like, she's been in jail many times, and when I first met her, she, like, first of all, I'm a recovered alcoholic. I've been sober mm-hmm. for just over 20 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks to AA. And then once I got into the program, I really got into the brain and studying the brain and what made me tick and all this stuff. And I found it fascinating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I took the Silva method of mind control with Jose Silva. I don't know if you're familiar with
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, I am.
Yeah. My sponsor made me take that early back in 1995, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that really stimulated me. And but what happened, like, and I was doing fine up until my 15 years of sobriety. And, 7 years into my sobriety, I figured out that I had done some brain damage to mm-hmm. all the alcohol and drugs I did. And so my doctor had put me on some antidepressants and stuff like that, and that kind of mm-hmm. helped control my thoughts and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then what happened is I met this girl, and she was drinking and drugging. Like, she was in Narcotics Anonymous, but really didn't go to meetings. Like, I was a diehard AA member,
mm-hmm.
but hanging around with her, you know, she was getting drunk all the time and stuff, and I wanted to feel that too. Like, I wanted to be able to relate to her, you know.
Correct.
So I got addicted to cough syrup with the DM in it.
Yes.
Dextromorphine, whatever.
It is.
And I began to like that because it gave me the buzz. It made all my anxiety disappear. I have very strong, like, generalized anxiety disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, stems from my childhood. I was left in, we went on a family trip and from Estevan, Saskatchewan to Vancouver. And I was 4 years old, and I was, when we got to my uncle's place, I was kind of left in the car. My mom just let me sleep. Like, I was raised in a very loving, caring mm-hmm. home, and I got three siblings. And I was left in the car, and I woke up, and I was just scared out of my wits. You know, a sharp pain went through my heart of abandonment,
mm-hmm.
and that nobody loved me, and I was screaming and crying down the street, and the lady found me, and she knew where my uncle lived and took me there. And then when I was five, we were coming back from Regina, Saskatchewan, back to Estevan, me and my brother. And I was so excited to see Mom and Dad at the bus station, at the Greyhound bus station, that he said, are you stupid? Mom and Dad have left us forever. They're never coming back. And then I asked him, well, who's going to take care of me? And then he said, well, I guess I'm going to have to. And then when we got off the bus, you know, I felt kind of content that I was going to be taken care of because my brother said that. And I believed him because he was my older brother, right?
Right, right.
And then I turned around and I see Mom and Dad standing there. And I went up to Mom and I asked her, what are you doing here? And because my brain at that time wasn't able to process, right?
Correct.
So I asked, and she said, well, we're here to pick you up. And I said, well, Brian said you left us forever. And, oh, he was just joking around, and he got in trouble for that.
Right.
But those thoughts, those, and then, like again, like a sharp pain had gone through my chest of abandonment. And I'm 51 now, and I'm not able to, I've never been in a long-term relationship for fear of people leaving me.
Being abandoned, correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so I finally, this gal, I would have her stay over at my place because she was homeless and had no place to live. And then I found a whole bunch of my property in her bags and stuff.
Right.
And this happened several times, and I just let it go, you know?
Right, because you didn't want to be abandoned again.
You exactly.
didn't want to be alone again. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and
go ahead.
And then finally, she this last week, I drove her to the pawn shop, her and a friend, and I came back. They went and did their stuff at the pawn shop, and I came back from the drugstore, and all my stuff was gone. I had a carton of cigarettes there. My my cell phone was gone. My BlackBerry. My camera was gone. A whole pill out of my little pill case that I carry with me.
Right.
All my clonazepam, full refill, was disappeared. Like it was gone, and they used those to sell on the street for money.
Right. Yeah, they were just trying to survive. So I'm gonna stop for a moment here, Darren. Sweet, when you were in AA. There were, of course, we understand that it's the 12-step program.
Yeah.
Do you remember the fourth step in the 12-step program?
Yeah. Continue to take a, made a fearless and searchful moral inventory of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would encourage you, sweet, where you are, whenever you get into a place where you find yourself hanging on, and that's not said judgmentally, but hanging on to where you this fear of abandonment wells up from your lower gut and just it consumes your heart, honey. That's what you're getting when you're getting the pain part of it is it's like a sharp kind of like taking what's down in your lower belly that we hold energetically around abandonment issues, and it's like shoving it up into your chest. And so if you can, and where you are with this process that you're in, if you can go back, and I would like you to post-its, I don't care what it is, I want you to take that fourth step, and I want you to think about it. I want you to use that as your foundation. I mean, all the steps are of great value to you, but right now where you are, that fourth step is the tiebreaker, as I'm picking up energetically. That fourth step is tied to your heart, honey. You're a very loving person. You're a very spiritual person. You're a very, very gentle, gentle soul in a male body, which you have tremendous courageousness. But I would like you to use that as your foundation. And then take what the other steps taught you is see yourself one day beyond where you are today, especially in this relationship. The reality of it is absolutely. And you know what? You are. It is over, sweetie.
I ended up turning her in.
Absolutely.
I phoned her. I was just sick and tired of it, and we argued over it. She denied everything, and then friend that was with her gave me some of my stuff back, like the camera and the cell phone, and she was dumb enough to take a bunch of pictures of herself and her friends and stuff like that on my camera.
Yeah,
and she was on probation because she was supposed. Like due to her release of jail, she was supposed to go straight to a treatment center, but that was way
and
before
she won't.
Christmas.
Yeah, she won't.
Yeah, it's the second time she did that to the court.
Exactly.
She was released on early release.
So
contingent on going to.
So go ahead.
One of the things I do is I started early in the program, back in 93, 94, I started, making self-hypnosis CDs.
Good.
With affirmations on them. And then what I do is I record them on my computer, and then I burn them on a disc, and I play them in my sleep.
Perfect.
And so one, like, just an example, one of the scripts says, I am filled with peace of mind, self-love, and I'm able to let go. I am free of loneliness and feeling alone.
Correct. So what I want to do, not cut you off by any means, sweet. That's not what this is. I do need to do a commercial break in a moment. But what I would like you to do, because I could feel you calm, I could feel your energy flow very freely when you were talking about the hypnosis tapes. If you would make a new tape with, and starting out with that number fourth step, that step connects you to your heart. Your heart connects you to your creativity. Your creativity lets you look beyond where you are, healthy, whole, lovable, being in a relationship. And that energetics and that repetitiveness in that hypnosis tape, what it's going to do is it's going to unleash the creativity, and you're going to start to see the future in a more hopeful way, in a more being in control way. And what that's going to do is, and it's going to start working with the relationship, but getting rid of the relationship energies that you have, but it's ultimately going to free you from any addictiveness that you have to cough syrup or anything else. It's a process. And that particular one connects you to your heart. And that's the one that connects you to the fact that you have an awful lot to offer this world. But in the process of your history and your psychological coffers, all you remember in that part when it gets touched is that you're not enough. So try that. Right. I think that's a wonderful tool. You are done with her. I will validate that. This isn't like, okay, well, Carol, I'm done, and no, I'm going to fall. You are done. Check this off your list. She was a great gift to you. She gave you that oomph to get back into that mental processing, that creativity, and also got you the most important gift she gave you, sweetie, is she gave you the freedom of getting out of that survival thinking. You lived with it. You saw it. You saw what it does. You saw how it creates desperation, how it feeds on itself, how it becomes controlling. She gave you the gift to break that, break yourself free of that. So, again, not my intention, my love, to cut you off. I do need to take a commercial break, but you know what? You're going to be okay.
You are
going to be okay, because you're thinking different. You are thinking different. All right. Well, light and love to you, Darren. Oh, my gosh, sweetie, once we touch, you'll drive by kind of energetically and go, yo, Carol, and I go, oh, my gosh, you look so different. So thank you so much. What I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break right now. I'm going to come back, just end up a little bit more on the topic of creative brain and how it works, but I've got callers, and I would like to be able to take their calls. So I'm going to be right back. Stay tuned.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back, and if you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is on your creative brain and how it works. And again, a very exciting topic for the year of 2014, which is all about creating a new reality. And that new reality can be as big as you want it to be, and it will actually manifest, but we do have to remember that we do have to have a plan, and we have to take steps in order to make it happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk more about that, but I just want to just quickly remind you, if you're not in my database, then please go to my website, www.reitberger.com, and enter in the information. It says enter in for newsletters, submit information for newsletter. You can go to the contact form on the homepage, lower left side. But what you do is if you get into my database, then I have a new monthly email that's coming out called Vibe News. I sent out my January one. And what it's going to do is it's going to actually track the energy on a month-to-month basis. And it's going to, I'm going to tap into the energy and into the celestial helpers to ask them what should we expect in that particular month to be able to help move us forward in our desires and creating that new reality of 2014. So I've got newsletters. I've got events such as my Healing That Happens on a Higher Level webinar. I've got other events that are coming up. So if you're not in the database, please go in and get in the database. You know, you can always opt out. I'm very sensitive to not try to spam and send too many things out because we always get a lot of emails. But please do go in and register. Try it out and then get that newsletter coming up for February. The energy of January is all about introspection, reflection, contemplation, evaluation, dreaming, and planning. Right now we're in the ebb. It isn't about moving forward, meaning not making life-changing decisions. It's about putting the plan in place. So when the energy of February kicks in, that movement, the momentum, you are ready to go. Being creative isn't a quality, as I said at the beginning of my first segment, to just specific people. And that's one of the things that we have actually been conditioned to believe is some people are more creative than others. Everyone has prefrontal cortex. Everybody has the potential for creativity. That creativity can be different. For some people and personalities, the creativity is just the sheer joy of creating, the generating of ideas, sharing those ideas, but not necessarily having to do anything with the idea other than just generating. Another personality will use those ideas to be able to help people and help their lives and help solve their problems. Other personalities, the creativity is about solving a problem specifically at hand, and then the creativity of another personality is to make things better by doing things differently. So the way that we're neurologically wired by our personality, and I teach it by color, red, orange, yellow, green. In fact, there's a personality assessment that you can actually click on to take on my website. In fact, in that moving bar on my homepage, there's a slide that says, what color is your personality? Just click on it, $1.95. You can find out your personality color, and then that starts to explain your neurology. And once you understand that neurology, you're going to understand how you create. And you'll be able to recognize when something is new, it is refreshing, it is different than the old. And then you'll start to understand how your creativity actually helps you personally in the problem-solving process. So I want to, before I jump into the calls, here's some tips to maximize your creativity. Engage in mental activities that challenge the creative brain to come up with new solutions. So an example of this is to perform a common task in an unconventional way, such as preparing a sandwich. Rather than making the sandwich as you normally do, maybe taking the bread and then putting the mustard, the mayonnaise, or whatever you may use on it, how about taking the bread and turning it over, meaning flipping it opposite of each other if you do it where it's side by side, doing that, maybe putting the meat on if you're going to be using that, and then adding the mayo or whatever on top of it. Just do something unconventional, because what it does is it changes the sequence of that redundancy and that mundane that we just do where we're not even thinking that we're doing it, and that can actually stimulate that creative brain. You can take an object in the kitchen, such as a candle, and think of all the different ways that you could use that candle other than just providing light. And those are things that you can do. Learn new things and then strive to become proficient at them. Observe what's going on around you and how it's affecting you. That's very important, because if you observe what's around you and you become consciously aware of how it's affecting you, you're going to become aware of the emotional reactions that you have to specific situations that keep you in that repetitive pattern of thinking. Come up with a common problem that you experience maybe on a daily or a weekly basis, and then imagine yourself just a day beyond that problem actually using the solution that your creativity came up with. Now, you can do that at a day. So a common problem is maybe that you're always late. And then your brain comes in, and the creative brain may say something like, well, why don't you set your clocks 15 minutes ahead? And then when you look at the time, then you will think that you're going to be on time, and then you have that 15-minute buffer. So you can set your clocks ahead. What you can do is you can creatively look at yourself going out the door 15 minutes earlier. Lots of creative ways to do it. But by using that imagination and using the creativity, see yourself tomorrow going to a meeting and not being late. And then that spurs the creative thinking of that creative part of the brain to say, oh, well, gosh, look at, there you are in the future and you're not late. So what can we do to right now that's going to make that happen? That's the plan part. Also, take a different route to work or a different route on the way home. If you're doing a mundane task, then intentionally distract yourself by thinking about new ways to do that same thing. If you find yourself struggling to create or you find yourself struggling, then step away from the situation and get a change of scenery. Nothing works better than that. And then really practice at stepping out, getting out of your comfort zone, stepping beyond those comfort zones and seeing yourself again in the future, looking and acting and saying things different. Spend time with yourself and by yourself, just thinking about anything and everything. I really encourage people in the activating and stimulating and development of the creative brain is that every day give yourself a 10-minute daydream break where there's no task, you're outside if that's where you need to be, and you just let your mind wander. When your mind wanders, then the creative brain comes in and goes, oh, good, well, that part of the brain is distracted, so let me show you some other opportunities. Also, engage in creative activities that are fun and stimulating. Take a nap. That's one of the things that we know that's great when you're stuck in a problem is just take a nap, because then your dreams, the creative part of the brain actually uses your dreams to be able to come up with new ideas. Always challenge yourself. It's very easy to get caught up in the mundaneness of everyday activity, to go through the process, not even being consciously aware of it. So challenge yourself. If you don't go for a walk at lunch, go for a walk. Challenge yourself that you're going to do 1,000 steps at lunchtime. What does that look like? How do you feel? That's all part of the creative brain. And then give yourself that afternoon daydreaming break, and then occupy your mind with a different task, because what the mind does is when it gets into that beta state, then what it does is it's like a train just chugging along. It doesn't want to get distracted. So what you do is you just start a different task, and then your brain gets diverted by that. The creative brain kicks on and goes, oh, now I can really look at the situation and I can come up with some solutions. So those are some of the things that you can do to help that. I want to jump in. I've got a couple of callers. So hi, Carol from Wisconsin. Oh my gosh, you guys have been so cold.
Hello. Yes, we are.
I didn't need to remind you that from California, huh?
Well, it's the way it is.
It is. And you know, hardy stuck. You people are. California gets around 32 degrees and we are absolutely pitiful.
Yep. I was outside this morning.
Oh, good for you. All right, hon. How can I help you?
First of all, thanks for taking my call. It's nice to talk with you.
You are welcome. My pleasure.
My sister Lori has been struggling with kind of a, what sounds like a fluctuating serious blood pressure level, and they're getting her stabilized now. She's working with a really good doctor system. I worry that there's something causing it. She thinks it's kind of a combination of things, which it probably is. Mm-hmm. But I just wondered if you could see something that they might want to look at that they haven't thought of yet.
Yeah, the first thing is could you please tell me, it feels like she's on a couple of medications. Is that true?
Yeah.
Do you know what they are?
She's on a blood pressure medication that does not have a beta blocker. They had given her one, and her system just went crazy.
Absolutely.
And then she's also on anxiety medication, I believe.
Okay. Okay. So they think it's a combination of what, just anxiety?
She thinks it's maybe hormones, you know, because of her time of life, combined with anxiety in her job, in her house, and just sort of a combination.
Yeah.
They've looked for an adrenal tumor and didn't find that.
Right.
So they just want to keep working with medication and try to stabilize her that way.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why it happened all of a sudden.
Well, actually, it didn't happen all of a sudden.
Yeah.
If you can go back 5 to 6 years with me, that's when it actually started with her. Mm. If you go back and you look at where she was, and it feels like it had to do with job, is she feels very conscientious, very loyal, very dependable. There's a lot of qualities that I pick up with her. That's why I needed to really ask a lot of questions so I could use you as kind of that thread to connect me. But I can go back 5 or 6 years ago, and that's when I can start feeling her. And here's the metaphor, is it was like she was in a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. And I can go 2 years before that where I can actually find that there was an imbalance in the serotonin and the propensity for depression that feels like it wasn't really addressed. And it's like she got chemically very out of balance in that serotonin, dopamine, the neurotransmitter aspect of it, the neurology part of it. It really doesn't feel to me like it's hormonal. Mm-hmm. It feels to me like it's more what is happening in the chemistry of the brain. That's why I think the anti-anxiety medication is helping her. I don't believe there really is a classical blood pressure problem as we would think. That's why her body didn't take the, didn't accept the blood pressure medication that had the beta blocker in it. So where it feels to me is it feels like that she could, this is going to sound kind of crazy. Ayurvedic medicine just keeps coming up around this, is that if we could cool her gut, if we could change her diet, and we could look at ways to heal the gut itself, then I can actually find the dynamics of the pancreas and the serotonin, dopamine activity all take, I can find, feel it actually calming down. I had to touch her a moment so I could get the words for it would calm down. My sense is that she, when she get stressed, it isn't that she eats the wrong thing. She actually feels like she stops eating. She just gets kind of lost in what's going on and doesn't pay attention to what her body needs. Is that true, honey?
I know she lives a pretty healthy lifestyle. She is concerned about her blood sugar sometimes and wants to eat in a regular way, but it's possible that at work when things are going on, she doesn't have time.
Right, right. So when we're looking at the blood pressure dynamics, we want to look at diet. It would be a value, I think, for her to, if she's open to it, to find an Ayurvedic practitioner to be able to work with her on that. She could use some Chinese medicine, but for some reason the Ayurvedic feels much more in alignment with who she is. And then what she can do is that she can, through those changes and kind of cooling her gut down, it's going to reestablish the balance of the neurotransmitters in the brain. That's going to help her with being able to cope more effectively. She is in a better place at work than she was 5 or 6 years ago. But the job that she's in, the tasks that she has to perform, feel really emotionally charged.
Yeah, yeah. They are.
And it feels like the person that she was working with that was eating her lunch, that's what how it felt to me, that's why the metaphor came up, and causing her to be in this pressure cooker, basically came in, and what it did is it threw the chemistry off in a way that she is literally like a cat on a hot tin roof. Go ahead.
I think that'll be helpful.
I just went silent. I was connecting with her, but it popped me back to you, Carol. What are you concerned about, sweetie, with her? Have you narrowed that down? What your concerns are? I understand sisterly concerns, but this is something deeper, honey.
She's my little sister.
Mm-hmm. You can't protect her, can you?
No.
And that's something you've always done, isn't it?
I don't know that I've done a good job of it, but...
Yes, you have. You've done everything possible within your scope of control. And what's happening is beyond your control.
Yes, it is.
And you're feeling not only that big sister, but that protector of who you've always been. You're feeling like you're letting her down. And excuse me, I'm going to say it with love. Sweet, you're letting yourself down. Because there's nothing, love her, share, look for things. You're much more spiritual, metaphysical than she is. I don't mean that judgmentally. You look beyond the obvious to be able to do things. You connect the dots beautifully. You give her this information in ways that you know it's like giving her, you know, that spoonful of sugar, like Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. You give her these things. The only thing is that her mindset gets so caught up in the redundancy, that repetitiveness, that survival that's associated with it, that she can't bring herself out of it. So the medication is helping. The blood pressure medication is taking this pressure off of her blood vessels. It's taking the pressure off of her system. It's working for her. The antidepressant, or the anti-anxiety, I should say, is working for her. If there's something that you can do that you can put your energy in, how well this stuff is working and how it's protecting her, and use that connection to know that you're doing a good job, that you can share her and feed her things, then it'll get out of this anxiety that I'm picking up in you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I don't want to add to her anxiety.
And you know what? And I don't want you to become anxious.
Okay. Thank you.
And by offering that and then looking at it differently, then what you can do is you can stay in the light that you've always been with her and be her protector. But being her protector, in your particular case, means sharing information. where honestly, as loving as you are, you don't take her energy on and it becomes yours.
Okay. Good advice and for a lot of places for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, try that, sweetie. And what she's doing is good. And talk to her about diet and food and then also see what she can do. Maybe you guys need to just do a sister break every so often. So thank you so much, Carol. I appreciate it. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. Love spending time with you. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I sure did enjoy bringing it to you. Light and love, and have a great week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.